So what I think what I'm going to do is capsulize some things we talked about. We've been talking actually over the last several months, but we talked about the last series title was The Exceeding Greatness of His Power, something that's not really talked about a whole lot. And we went into a series about that, and this month we've been talking about triumph in times of tribulation. Now, these times are trying times. They're times of tribulation, but we are not in the Great Tribulation yet. That's because the thing is, if the Great Tribulation was happening, we wouldn't be here. We've kind of proved that from the Word, but today we're talking about triumph in times of tribulation, and the Bible places a huge emphasis on where we look, on our eyes. Not just our natural eyes, but the eyes of our understanding, our heart, the eyes of our spirit. So today's subtitle is, what are you looking at? Turn to your neighbor, help him out. Say, what are you looking at? You see their body, but you are looking at an eternal spirit sitting next to you. You are a spirit. These times of tribulation in Luke, when Jesus kind of came to and said, look, this is what's going to happen. All right, so he's already told us, this is going to happen. And what did he say? He said in verse 28, he said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look at each other, get mad, threaten them, have a conniption fit. He said, no, look up. Look up. Look to God and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Now, in Luke chapter, let me go there. Bible's falling apart. That means my life isn't falling apart, right? You get it back in order. Whoops, that's upside down. This is right side. Never. Okay, go to this one. So Luke 21 and verse 15. Let's look there. Is that right? 21. Thank you. He's talking about when they bring you up to testify against you. Now, this could be at work. This could be in the public opinion and whatever. This could be in your neighborhood. This could be anything. He says, don't be so ready in verse 14. He says, settle it in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. Say this. The answer is already given. It lives in me. Nobody will be able to gainsay it or resist it. You know, one thing about the truth is, I mean, we saw the truth. I remember after the Yankees won the World Series back in like 79 or something, and Thurman Munson was interviewed. And the Yankees had a rough 70s. I mean, it was bad news. Not as bad as the Cubs. They had a bad century. But I can tell where I'm at. But the Yankees, and then so the New York press is really tough. So there's a picture of Thurman Munson with a scowl on his face saying, winning shuts everybody up. Well, that's what the truth does, too. When it can't be gainsaid or resisted, it can't be. When Stephen stood before the Sanhedrin, they couldn't resist anything he said. They couldn't resist him. They couldn't talk against him. All they could do was kill him. And that's what it drives people to, an immediate decision. The truth will drive you to an immediate decision. Our faith is based on different levels of knowledge and understanding. Yeah, I remember when Kenneth Copeland shared this one time. He said he's a pilot. And so he was sitting in his plane, and the air traffic controller came over and said, "You are cleared to take off and level up to 5,000 feet." He did. Then he said, "Now you're cleared to ascend to 10,000 feet. You're cleared to go 20,000 feet now." You know what the Lord said to him right there? The Lord said, "You know, I wish you'd have as much confidence in me as you do that air traffic controller." That air contractor, he'd had the big picture. Kenneth only had a small, what he was doing. See what I mean? When we trust God, he's got the big picture. When we trust God, he's the light of the future and everything. When we trust God and put our confidence in him, when we look to him, we get to see it as he sees it. Okay, let me say that again. Try that once more. When we trust him and walk, then we get to see things as he sees them. Amen. Now, amen. Kenneth is operating that plane as if he had all the information that the air traffic controller has. Why? Because all his confidence, that's his eyes. That air traffic controller is his eyes. The other eyes that he has is when he's out of the air traffic control, when he's set on a course, is his panel. If he's flying at night, he can't see. When you're flying at night, you get something called vertigo. When you think the plane is level, or you think it's pitching down, and it's not, it's perfectly level. Your senses are absolutely, and this is what happened in a lot of World War II planes that happened, and they found that they weren't following these instruments. These guys would come out of the clouds and see that they're tilted, and they felt like they were straight. And they'd jerk it up and the wings would fall right off the plane. But here's your panel right here. You keep those instruments in line and you keep them right up and you will fly straight. This is your panel. This is your panel. Your body says, "Man, I feel sick. By his stripes I was healed." Shut up, buddy. Shut up and line up with this. This is the truth that you adapt to. This is your instruments right here. This is your panel. It doesn't matter what your body says. Your body, you don't consult your body to tell you whether God's word is true or not. Your body is, it will go whichever way the wind's blowing. What we need is we need to see it the way God sees it. We need to look at ourselves the way God looks at us and what he has said about us, and not about what anybody or ourselves, what our mind says about us, what how we feel about ourselves. It is so subtle and so tricky. But I'm talking about different levels of faith, like 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 feet. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? It is the power of God unto those who believe, to the Jew first and the Gentile. For therein, in the gospel, is revealed," is what? "The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." There are different levels of faith. Many Christians do not have a real workable knowledge of the scriptures. I remember on Sunday mornings, I would have a real workable knowledge of the scriptures. And then Monday came around and it wasn't so workable. Tuesday it was broken. Wednesday I was lost. My commitment and my dedicator was all worn out. I didn't have a dedication problem or a commitment problem. What I lacked was revelation knowledge and understanding of who I was in Christ, what I had in Christ, all I could do in Christ, and where I was seated in Christ. I had a revelation problem. And when you have the revelation knowledge of who you are, who God is in you, who Christ is in you, the ability of God in you, when you start to see yourself the way God sees you, Things come into focus and the ability of God is unlocked in you, and you don't need to commit. You don't need to dedicate yourself. That's all works. Those are dead works. Revelation knowledge infused in your spirit to know that I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. God lives in me, and where I walk, he walks. And when the reality of that is revealed to you, you don't have to dedicate or commit anything. The revelation knowledge is what infuses your faith, and you have that spirit of faith where you can see as you are seen. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love. God loves us with a choking kind of love that you just get. But God, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because they don't know him. He said, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. When we see him, we'll be like, when we see him, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And when he said that, he saw Jesus. And when he saw Jesus as he is, Jesus started telling who he is. He says, you're Peter. And on this rock of revelation and knowledge of who I am, I'll build my church. And then you'll see it. You have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, not God. He gave them to you. The revelation of that, if you feel tempted, if you feel weak, if you feel like things aren't going, whatever it is, and there's problems mounting up, and the voice of the devil going, yeah, 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 yeah. You have a key in your hands to unlock the power of God to kick in the gates that the devil is building in your mind. What? And you're going to see as you are. You'll see as you are seen by God, your Father, who has equipped you with all power over all the power of the enemy. Amen. And nothing, no disease, no virus, no nothing will hurt you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise
God. I remember I was talking to, my sister. This was back July 20th of 2020. Talked to her, and she said, now, are you wearing masks? Because I told her, we're done with that Zoom stuff. Are you wearing masks? I said, well, this is the United States of America. People are free to wear masks or not. Well, I can tell you where the fan threw everything. And obviously, she's of a different opinion than we are. But I love her anyway. I just really wish that she would see herself the way God sees her. Amen. I really wish that everybody, like Paul said, I wish you, not only you, King Agrippa, but everybody would be like me except for these chains. You know, when the world sees the love coming out of your heart, that's when they're going to change. That's when you're going to see that you have something that they want and that they need. Oh, there's a lot of ways to live this life. I chose mine. You know, how many of you know who Ken Burns is? He does all these documentaries. He did one in the Civil War. And he said, do you know that Robert E. Lee lost Gettysburg because he was fighting blind? Thank God he was, because that was the turning point of the war. And what happened was Robert E. Lee sent Jeb Stuart out, his cavalry guy, and I get cavalry and cavalry mixed up. And he sent him out in reconnaissance to see the weak spots, and he never came back, and the battle started. And then when Jeb Stuart finally came back, I believe the Lord just kind of delayed him. But he had like 200 wagons, said, I'm ready to go. And Lee said, the war's over. I have no use for those wagons now. But he said, Jeb Stuart was supposed to give him information, and he never got it. And so he was fighting blind. We don't have to fight blind. Amen. Not only that, But any war that had to be won is already won, and we are called to walk in the victory that and enforce that victory with our faith. Not with our energy and our opinions or anything, with our faith. And faith operates through love. A lot of Christians don't have a real workable knowledge of the scriptures, and so proportionately they don't have a real workable faith. Let's call it a functional faith. They don't have a real functional faith because their functional knowledge of the Word of God and their ability to apply the Word to their daily life, their everyday life, is kind of nil. So their faith suffers for that. But there are different, so if you get rise to a new level of understanding, which only comes by revelation knowledge, turn with Ephesians chapter 1. We'll do this again because I can't get away from this. Brother Hagin said, if you pray these prayers, the Ephesian prayers, chapter 1 and 3, he said, the Bible will become a different book to you. And your life will be a brand new life to you. It'll almost seem like you were born again again. Even though you can't be born again, you'll feel like you were born again. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Jesus. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, everybody say far above. Far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Go back to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give unto you. Brother Hagin said, if you pray this prayer every single day for 6 months, and preferably more than once, pray it every single day for 6 months, the Bible will be a whole new book for you. Why? Because you'll receive revelation. It says the eyes of your understanding, your heart, your spirit man. The eyes of your understanding will be flooded with light. That's what that means. In fact, the Amplified translates it that way. That it is, you will be flooded with light. So revelation knowledge doesn't affect what you hear. It doesn't affect anything else. It affects your eyes. This opens your eyes to who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ. All you can do, where you are, it'll tell you your identity. Your identity is in Christ. Your identicalness to Christ will be revealed to you. That soldier on the inside that you really are, that warrior that you are, that undefeatable man of God that you are. Your eyes are going to be flooded with light, not shadows, not guesses, not, well, maybe, nothing like that. Flooded with pure light. With the truth, not just shades, shadows, not foggy windows that you have to look through with windshield wipers going this way and everything. No, you'll have clear light even in the foggiest conditions. When the world is confused, you'll know exactly what to do. Why? Because you're not walking by that sight, you're walking by inner vision. The Word of God, the Word of the Lord. Getting anything out of this? I'm going to wrap this up pretty soon. Remember, when Peter knew who Jesus was, Jesus told him who he was. Let Jesus tell you who you are. Don't let the world, don't let your education or lack thereof tell you who you are. Don't let your situation, your circumstances, your height, weight, anything, don't let that define you. The Word of God defines you. Let that be. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Say this with me. No man can serve two masters. Remember we said last week, if you want to streamline your life to the victory in Christ, get rid of double-mindedness. It's this week we'll prove it, next week, this is science class in high school. This week we'll prove it, next week we'll disprove it. See how they condition you? We have, ever since the fall in the garden, we have worshipped at the altar of knowledge, and it never produced anything good. Knowledge puffs up. The light of the body is the eye. How are you seeing things? Where are you looking? You looking at the flesh? You looking at things in the natural? You look at people in the natural? The Bible says we don't even look at people in the natural anymore. We don't even know Jesus after the natural, after the flesh. But we know each other. You know, we're still relating to that demoniac that Jesus cast the legion out. We're still calling him the demoniac of Gadara. He was delivered 2,000 years ago, and we're still calling him the demoniac. Jesus kicked him out. He's gone. He's the delivered of Gadara. Renew your mind. Don't look at people after the flesh. Because all you're going to see is their faults. And when you see their faults, you go, oh. Jesus has rescued them and delivered them. He has embraced them. He has given them a new life and a new hope and a new path. It's gone. All the stuff is gone. We don't look at people after the flesh. Not unless you want to look at yourself after the flesh and look at your own faults. How about it? Judge not lest you be judged. If you don't want to be judged, don't judge. That's a simple recipe for a lot of stuff. Amen. Oh. My eyes are flooded with light. Oh, this is good. So I may know the hope that I'm called to, the hope that God is calling me to. And when you reach one level of hope, it's not done. You got another level of hope right in front of you. And when you reach that level, three more levels open up to you. And it just goes on. It's exponential, and it multiplies in you. So you can know the hope that he's called you to. You can know the riches of the inheritance that he has locked up in that covenant that you can access by faith. What are the riches of the inheritance? And you don't have to wait to heaven to get your inheritance. It doesn't belong to you when you get to heaven. It belongs to you when you're born again. When you're born into the family of God as a son or daughter of the living God, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Amen. Jesus has done. I'll tell you something. The devil knows more about his defeat than most Christians. He's a wounded puppy. He is just a wounded, angry little wolf. With no teeth, no claws, and a droopy tail. He's done, really. You know, I remember some Brother Hagin, when the flu broke out one time, and people, he had like three or four people in his meeting, and he started declaring. He says, well, I just want you to know that I will never get the flu. I think it was the pastor of the church came up. He says, Brother Hagin, aren't you afraid that the devil's going to hear you? He says, yeah, I hope he does. I said it for his benefit. Get out. Amen. That's the way you got to do with the devil. Amen. Get out before I burn you up with the fire of God. Jesus said, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Where are you looking? What are you looking at? I'll tell you something. What you look at, your whole body follows what you're looking at. That's why our inner vision is so important. I mean, why would Madison Avenue and all of the advertising companies go through such lengths to engineer their television advertisements to such a degree that it draws you in and say, oh, I need that. Where's that phone at? I'm going to call and get that. Why would they go? And listen, they use all of the tricks in the book. You know, I remember back in the 70s, remember the oil, the gas, when the lines were around the block and everything, during Carter's administration, and the oil embargo was on and all that, and nobody could get gas, and it was just lying the block. So, and I'm not going to go there. But what were people looking at? They said, well, I got to get a small little car, something that's, I don't want one of those gas guzzlers. Well, what Madison Avenue figured out, if they put it in front of your eye long enough and continuous enough, and number that within 6 months, you would be going to a bank to hunt down a loan just to get one of those big gas guzzlers, that you needed it. They designed these ads to do that, to direct your eyes, because they know where your eyes go, that's where you go. Hugh Hefner figured that out too. I don't think he's a happy camper at this point, but you know, I'm just going by the evidence. You know, what we do leaves evidence in people's lives. Let's leave some good evidence. It's a new day. It's a new time. We are the worshipers of, as Kelly was saying, we are the true worshipers of God. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And we take the lessons of the Old Testament. King Saul was a miserable king because he made some bad decisions. Cain was a murderer because of a bad decision. Saul of Tarsus was a miserable zealot, religious zealot. And I'm not judging him, I'm quoting him. That he said, nobody deserves any of this, most of all me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's a new day, start seeing it that way. Amen? Look to your neighbor, say this. There's more to me than you can see. Because the life of God is in me. There's more to me than you can see. Because the life of God is in me. Amen. See it. It's real. Amen. Father, thanks for your word. We thank you, Father, for our worship today. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful grace that you have bestowed on us. We thank you, Father, for the teams we have in place, the youth, the children. Lord, we have such amazing people. You know, I remember when Greg Moore walked into my office, he said, Pastor Tom, you've done a great job here. You know, and I just said, well, I can't take credit for that. I said, we have the greatest people in the world right here. And it's the truth. You guys surprise me all the time. You guys always go the extra mile, put aside things and just, I'm really humbled by the wonderful people that we have in this church. And I know it's the God in you, but you take my breath away sometimes, just like Lori did when I first saw her. Where you go, I will follow. Oh, hallelujah. That was 39 years ago, last month. October 8th of 1983. A day that will live in wonderment. Oh, praise God. Well, it's a time of healing. It's a time of grace. It's a time of forgiveness and love and the wonderful redemptive privileges that we have, just being his kids, that no matter where we go, what happens, we have a Savior, and we can turn to him anytime. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will not return to you void without accomplishing its purpose in us. That your word, this word is God speaking to us. This word is God's life being imparted to us. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in us. This God is, is your authority being delegated to us. This God is your blessing. This word is your blessing overtaking us, your ability empowering us, your counsel guiding us, your power of salvation to us, accomplishing in us that which pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. First time in a long time we didn't do that confession. It's okay, we didn't. Hey, it's noon 30, lunch 30, whatever. Listen.